Luke chapter 10, familiar portion of scripture. A while back, I was studying and just asking God to give me something, and he laid this portion of scripture upon my heart. We'll pick up Luke chapter 10, verse 38 is where we're beginning. It's a very, very familiar portion of scripture, and you're not going to hear anything new this morning. I just want to encourage you this morning and maybe motivate you a little bit, but and just see the importance of some of these things. But Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but the one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" I want to speak to you this subject this morning. This one thing is needful. This one thing is needful. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for these dear people that have come out. And God, they didn't come to hear from me, but God, they came to hear from you. God, I pray, I beg, I plead with you, Lord, that you'd clear out my heart, my mind, God, anything that would be of me. God, I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit's power and speak through me here today, Lord, as a vessel that would be overflowing with your words. God, I pray that each and every person here, God, would check their heart and their mind, God, to make sure there's nothing there that would hinder the Holy Spirit using this message, God, to speak to their hearts. God, I pray, and I ask you, Lord, if there's somebody here this morning, God, that's never had that time that they've been born again, they've never placed their faith and trust in you. God, I pray that today would be the day they call upon you and get that settled. God, I pray that you would move in this service. Let your presence be felt here today. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That word needful, as I was reading this portion of scripture, that word needful stuck out to me. And, you know, we could think of a lot of things in our lives that are needful. And that word needful, though, means necessary as a supply or relief. Here in this passage, we see there was two sisters here, and I believe both of the sisters loved our Lord. Obviously, Martha had invited Jesus to come to the house, and she was there, and she was trying to be a good host, and she was trying to prepare for him and prepare their physical needs and their physical food and to provide that for him. And she was very busy and going about. And, you know, Brother Nathan, the first time that I had read this and I'd heard somebody preach about this, and we've all heard messages preached about this portion of scripture if you've been in church any time length, but and I was like, what was she doing that was so wrong? She was trying to get things ready. But if we're back up in the scripture here in a moment, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there was something that was more needful at this time that was there. Once again, I believe both the sisters were very caring for our Lord, and they understood and they wanted him there. But Martha was just, she was busy serving and getting things ready and preparing to entertain the company that was there. And we find that Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, where from the world's aspect, we could say we understand why Martha was upset. And if you, and I know you ladies have done it before, you've helped prepare for a big day at church or for a big meal. And I've seen it and heard it before. And it's like, you know, so-and-so was there, but she wasn't doing anything. She was just off busy doing this. And we understand that. Yeah, I see smiles from the ladies, so I know there's guilty parts in here. But, you know, all kidding aside, you know, we understand that when things need to get ready, we want everybody involved. You know, many hands make light work, and we understand those things, and that it was there. But Jesus says this in verse 42, but one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away for her. Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and to learn from Jesus while she could. We understand that Jesus was only here for a short period of time, and then he had died on the cross, and he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, and he ascended into heaven, but he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And we understand that each and every one of us has opportunities to seize. And you know, the older that you get, the more that you understand you only get so many sunrises. And the older that you get, and I'm not old by any means, but some of these things in the past few years have started to make light to me that we should seize the opportunities profit from each and every day that God has given us. And I'm not talking in a financial way, but from a spiritual way. There was I have some nerve damage in my neck, and Nathan, I can't write very well anymore. And it struggles because there's times when I want to write something down the Lord spoke to me, but I got to talk to text it more anymore, depending on if that nerve is pinching really bad or not. And I look back at all the mornings. Amen. I could. Amen. We need to seize those opportunities. Amen. And Mary chose that one thing that was needful. Mary was more concerned about her spiritual food than she was her physical food. And you know, each and every one of us, we can skip some meals. I know that I can. Right. Each and every one of us can. It's not going to hurt us. It's good to fast. It's good to fast and pray. It's good to do those things. But as we look at this story, Martha, where I believe that she loved the Lord, she was more concerned about the physical needs of our Savior than she was about the spiritual needs that she had in herself. And we see it. That's why she was so worried about things and she was so cumbered about. And Brother Nathan, I think there's so many times I see people and they're going through difficulties and they're going through situations. And the thing that's amazing to me, Brother Morris, is if they just would have been there last Sunday, they would have got that spiritual food that would have helped them for what they were fixing to go through. And so many times we see that with people. And, you know, the Bible says that we're to fret not. And we're not to be worried about everything. We're not to be loaded down with the cares and the things of this world. The Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God does not want us to go about things and be worried about that. And we find in this portion of scripture, I believe the difference between Mary and Martha was Mary chose that good thing that, you know, every time that we open up our Bibles and every time that we sit in church, we're getting things that's spiritual food that's eternal. These are things that can help us forever. These are things that we can use to help others, that can help them through things. And I think about salvation and how salvation is an eternal destination, that our life was taken from an eternal life that we were going to spend in hell. And at that moment of salvation, now we're going to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven for eternity when we take our last breath here on earth. What a wonderful thing. But in the Bible, there's three times that Mary was mentioned. And I want to go to these three portions of Scripture and take out things that I believe that's needful that we can see out of these portions of Scripture with Mary and apply them in our lives and to use them in our lives that we might be helpful to those around us or that might help us in those times of need. We understand that Mary chose this one thing that was needful and it would not be taken away from her. Number one, I want you to see with me, look in verse 38. And the Bible says, and she had a sister called Mary, which chose, which also sat at Jesus' feet. And what's the next three words? And heard his word. And I already touched on that. What was needful in this portion of Scripture? What was the difference between the two sisters? We understand that Martha was trying to do something good, but Martha was cumbered about, and she was worried about getting things taken care of and doing all those things. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Brother Nathan, I've noticed in my life there's so many times if we're just place our faith and confidence in God's word, and be faithful doing the things that we're supposed to do, we'll see God do miraculous things in our life that we could never fathom or imagine. And sometimes God just wants us to, he'll send us through trials and he'll send us through things that he'll allow us to see if we'll stay faithful to him. You know, Brother Morris, many people backslide on God when they go through trials because they don't understand why God would allow them to go through those trials, or they don't understand why God's keeping them in those trials. But God has a purpose for all those things. God knew why he allowed you to come into the trial. He knows keeping you in that trial, and he knows when you're going to come out of that trial. Many times, though, we get bitter and angry against God because he has us in the trial. And you know, I think the difference in Mary and Martha that we learned in this story was because Martha was getting the spiritual food that would help her throughout everyday things and guidance and learning things in our lives. And it's needful for us to get God's instruction and guidance from his word. It's very needful for those things. Go to, I don't have it there. Never mind. We'll get to that in a minute. But God had a purpose for what he was going to go through. Job 23, verse 11. If anybody went through trials and needed things, and, you know, you think about the book of Job and where you look at it and you're like, oh my goodness, what Job went through. But we can find encouragement through the book of Job because we understand that everything that Job went through in his life was more than likely worse than anything that we're going to experience. But in this same token, we understand that Job lost his wealth, Job lost his health, and Job lost his children. All things that can be devastating to a human while we live here on earth. And at the end of the day, we understand it. But the Bible says in verse 11, look at that. I believe one of the reasons why we saw Job blessed more at the end of his trial than before his trial was this: my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Mary had found it that God's words that he was speaking, when she sat there and heard it, was much more necessary than her food. So many times I believe that we miss on church and we miss on our Bible reading, and it was exactly what God was trying to prepare us on a daily basis for. You know, we can find comfort in the things of God's word. In Psalms 25:5, the Bible says this: lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. In Psalms 27:11, teach me the way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of my enemies. God's path is clear and plain. God is not the author of confusion. If you know, some of you young people that are in here today, you're getting ready in the next several years to make some of the biggest decisions you have to make in your lives. And those decisions will determine a lot of the outcome of your life. Who you marry, where you go to college, if you go to college, these are all going to be things. Where you go to work, whether you do things. I had a young man, I'm all for the military. I had a young man the other day, he's very zealous and he's fired up for the Lord. He runs a bus ministry. He does all these things. And Brother Morris, he came to me and he goes, I think I'm going to the military when I graduate. And I'm all for the military. I'm thankful for all those that have served. But when you have a young man that's fired up for the Lord, that's zealous, and God is using him, I said, pray about it, fast about it, and make sure that it is God's will. I'm not taking the place of your pastor. I'm not going to tell you those things. But I will tell you this. Our military today is not what our military was 40 or 50 years ago. And our military does ruin a lot of good young Christian men. Hey, there's some young... my brother-in-law was a born-again Christian, went in the military, but he told me how much it wore on him. Now, some of you are going to get mad at me because I'm talking about having a young man pray and fast about seeking God's will. And this is what I told him, Brother Nathan. Make sure your answer comes from God's word. If our answers come from God's word, we won't be confused about what God's will is. How do you know what God's will is for your life? You do God's will, brother. You read your Bible, you pray, you go soul winning, you come to church, you tithe, you be faithful to those things. You go soul winning, you do all the things. When you're doing God's will, God will show you his will.
Amen. That's good.
There's too many people that are making decisions off of feelings.
Right, good.
Martha was cumbered about. She was all worried about getting this meal taken care of. But if she would have just sat down and got the spiritual food she needed that day, I don't think Jesus was worried about when he was going to eat. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights right before he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I don't think he was concerned about eating. We need to get to this place where we understand that spiritual food that we get up every day, read our Bibles, is what is needful. There's a reason why in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. There's a reason why God has commanded us to be in church every time the doors are open, because it's needful for us to get the spiritual food that we need for the week. It's needful to of Jesus. It's needful. God's word will do more for us than our spiritual food ever will. Especially if you eat some of that stuff that's wrapped in seaweed.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah. Miss Lisa can testify to eating the seaweed stuff with food poisoning. I told her she forgot to dip it in that wasabi sauce or whatever they say it is. If it kills all the bacteria and stuff, you might as well just dip it in like kerosene and then eat it. But I don't know. Anyways, I give Brother Nathan a hard time about that and his coffee. So the Bible says in Psalms 139:23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." Do you ever wonder why God says all scripture is given to us and it's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness? And he goes on to say that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Do you understand, Brother Morris, the reason why these things are needful, the reason that we need the correction, the instruction in righteousness, is one day we're going to leave a sin-cursed world, okay? If you're here, you're saved, you're born again, you're on your way to heaven, there's a day we're going to leave a sin-cursed world, Brother Isaac, and we're going to go to a holy God where there is no sin. And God uses the scriptures to clean us up now, so when we get there, it won't be such sticker shock, okay? We won't be so surprised when there's no sin. Won't be any worldly music. There won't be any loss. There won't be any of those things. What a wonderful day that's going to be. There won't be any 7-brew coffee. But God wants to clean us up. You know, right there when the psalmist said that, "Search me, O God, know my heart." God knows our heart. He knows everything about us.
Amen.
But when we allow God to search our heart, he's going to show us any wicked thing that is in us. And that's what it is. You know, when he led them in the wilderness, Brother Nathan, for 40 years and 40 nights, the Bible says it was to prove to them what was in their heart. And that's what's so important for us to sit there and get our spiritual food, is so that we can get to a place where when the trials come, when the temptations come, we don't fall to those things, but we've already had the spiritual food. When Jesus was led into the wilderness for 40 days after he was hungry, you know, we see that with the brothers. One of them sold his birthright for a bowl of beans. And you think about it, I don't know about you, Lauren, but does Nathan get hangry? You do? At least he's honest. So I'm going to use Lauren as a case. So if you had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and somebody came to you and said, you have the power to turn these stones into bread, you probably would. You know, listen, one of the times the devil attacks us most is when we're hungry, yes, we're tired, and we're alone. We're alone.
Right.
But how did Jesus, who was with Jesus when he was tempted, brother? Who was with him? He was alone, he was tired, and he was hungry. And how did he win that battle? That's why it's needful for us to hear the word and to get the word. Secondly, it was needful for Jesus to come. Go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 32. We'll see another account. We understand the story. I get a running start to this, but you had Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Lazarus had died. They had come to Jesus and said, Lazarus is dying. Jesus postpones his coming to there so that God would get this glory. And we see a picture here of salvation. But in verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. We're going to find in all three of these cases that Mary fell at Jesus' feet because it was needful. It was important to her. You know, when something's important to us, we'll get on our knees and pray, won't we?
Yes.
Right? At least one person will.
Come on.
Brother Isaac, it's amazing to me. You have people pray for my lost loved one, pray for my lost loved one, pray for my lost loved one. But then as soon as their lost loved one gets saved, they're nowhere to be found on prayer night.
Amen. Right. Amen.
You know what I found, Brother Nathan? When I started trying to reach other people's lost loved ones, God was giving me opportunity to reach my lost loved ones. It was amazing how that Amen. Works. We're worried about others, but so many times we're worried about ourselves. The Bible says that when she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. It's everybody's favorite scripture verse to memorize. But Jesus said, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened his eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? And Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with the grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." We back up in this story, and Martha comes to Jesus first. And Jesus, if we would back up in the scriptures, and for sake of time, I'm not going to do that. But Jesus says to her that Lazarus will rise again. And Martha says, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection." And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection. Do thou believest that I'm the resurrection?" That's my version of it. And she says, "I believe that thou art the Son of God." And there's an importance to that that we have to understand, that Jesus, in this portion of scripture, we see that Jesus uses this portion of scripture. He delays his coming unto Lazarus so that God would get the glory and see those things. And we understand that it was taught that after 4 days, the human body would start to decompose and it would start to stink. And this would ultimately show them that he had been in the grave for 4 days. So it wasn't like he was in there and he was going to come out looking like somebody we visit at a funeral. He wasn't embalmed. His body had started to cave in. His eyes started to dry out. All those things took place. He says, Lazarus comes out and God gets the glory. And this man was raised from the dead. Well, let me help you. You and I were all dead in our trespasses and sin one day. And I'm thankful that Jesus came and left the glories of heaven and came to earth that he might die on that cross to pay for my sins and for your sins and to die and be buried in that tomb. And the stone was rolled away like we saw here. But one day, God the Father said, "Jesus, come forth," and he arose. And because Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, we have a way to go to heaven one day. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. And one day when we came forth and we called upon Jesus Christ, we were born and we came alive for the first time in our lives, spiritually alive. It was needful for Christ to come the first time to bring salvation, not only to the Jew, but to the Gentile, which we are Gentiles. But it's going to be a wonderful thing because he is coming back. He is coming back, and when he comes back, he's going to call those of us that have born again. He's going to call us into glory and into the air with him, and we're going to meet with him. And let me help you with something. As we see the tribulation there on earth for 7 years and the Antichrist, and when we come back with the Lord and he comes back to clean this mess up, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. And it is needful that if you're here today that you need salvation. Don't take it lightly. You need salvation. Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It is not only for our salvation, but for us to tell those behind us. We need to understand something about salvation. When you take your last breath, you're stepping into eternity somewhere.
Yes.
Somewhere.
Come on.
Yeah, young people, you sit here today and you say, "I got plenty of time." You don't. My brother was 39 years old. Nobody knew that it was going to happen. And at the twinkling of an eye, he stepped into eternity somewhere. When you die, you leave here today, you walk out these doors, you get in your car, you get hit, you die, you take your last breath, you're going somewhere. I'm not trying to scare you, folks. I'm trying to make you realize the reality of salvation, the importance of Jesus Christ coming, the importance of not only us accepting Jesus, but us telling those out there that are lost the importance of salvation. As you read in this portion of Scripture, you see those Jews that came with Mary to the place where Jesus was. They came to Mary to give her comfort and to help her. And when they saw what Jesus has done, the Bible says they believed also. They believed also. That's why it's so important for us. It's so needful for us to tell people about Jesus, that he came and that he's coming back. It's so needful for those things. Thirdly, look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. verse 3. We saw two accounts where Mary came to him. Both times she laid at his feet and she came to him. And there was an importance to that. In ancient Jewish culture, it was expressed deep reverence and pleading at the feet. It depicts complete submission. Mary addressed him as Lord, which is coupe. And if you're a Greek scholar or a Hebrew scholar, and I don't pronounce these correctly for you, that's all right. You just hang in there. I'll be fine. I speak English, but I think it's good for us to go back into the original language sometime and pull out these meanings. But in the Greek, the Greek word pipto is to fall, joined with prostos podias at the feet, depicts complete submission. Mary addressed him as Lord, which is coupe, which affirms more than courtesy. It carries divine overtones. We understand there's a difference between Jesus just being our Savior and being our Lord and Savior. See, there's many people, they want him as their Savior, but they don't want him as their Lord, which is their master, which is the one that controls them, which is the one that guides them, which is the one that dictates where they go and what they do and their will for their life. There's a difference in those things. Thomas didn't believe in Christ till he had seen him and seen him do things. But in this portion of Scripture, John chapter 12, verse 3, then Mary took a pound of ointment and spikenard, very costly, and she and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of ointment. The spikenard was a fragrant of an ointment that was imported from the mountains of India. Thus, it was very, very expensive. The amount that Mary used was worth about a year's full of wages. Spikenard was used to anoint kings and may have been anointing Jesus as her kingly Messiah. Now, I want you to think about this just for a moment. We read these stories and we don't. Do you understand, ladies, that I know that your hair is important to you? Right, men? Man, that was quiet. You're all hem-packed. I don't know about you, Brother Tom, but I hate spending $12 on a haircut. That's why I just clip it now. $12 don't even get their hair washed. I never understood that. You're going to get your hair cut and colored, but they wash it before they do it. It's real quiet now. I'm in somebody's bedroom, but it's okay. I just wanted to bring, there's nothing wrong with you getting your hair done, ladies. I just wanted to bring the severity to it. So do you understand that during this time they would wear sandals and their feet would be dry and dusty and dirty? Right. And here was Mary, falls at Jesus' feet again. She takes this year's worth of wages of the spikenard and she pours it on Jesus' feet and she lays down and she rubs and cleans his feet with her hair. There was total submission and surrender. And young people, I'm going to address you just for a moment. Your whole lives are ahead of you. And if you're smart, you give your life to Christ now. Amen. You give it to him now.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Don't wait till you're 30, 40 years old, and then you struggle with the flesh. You ever think about the story in the Bible? The Egyptians, remember, they're in captivity. And what are they doing when God sends Moses to lead them out of captivity? The Bible says God heard their cry, right? They were miserable. They were in bondage. And Egypt is what? A picture of the world, right? And here's what happens to so many of our good church kids. You want the world, and then you go get whirled up, but then you want to come back and you wasted all those great years. I tell my kids now, read the Bible. Amen. There's nothing wrong with reading books, but read the Bible. Read spiritual books. And you want to talk spiritual books, make sure they're by authors like your pastor. There's a lot of junk out there. I research things. I've had people, Brother Morris, give me books. and I'll look at the author. And if the author is a New King James Bible, I don't care if he has good things, I don't read it. I'm not going to read books by Billy Graham. I'm not going to read books by Jack Scott. I'm not going to read those books. Why? Because they went a direction I don't want to go. But read the Bible. The older you get, the more junk's in your head, the less room you have to put things. Your mind's like a computer. There's only so much can fit in there. Fill it with godly things. Be like Mary. Sit down at the feet of Jesus and say, I need something from you today. Read your Bible. Come to church. When you come to church, take it serious, folks. Say, God, I'm needful for something today. How often do we come to church and we just show up? We're putting in our time, we're checking our time clock, we throw a few dollars into love offering, and then we leave. We have no surrender. We say, God, speak to me today. When was the last time we saw people come to the altar and get sober? One trip. Now we got 14-step, 1,000-step programs, and they don't stay, Brother Morris. Well, it used to be one trip to the altar, they got sober. It's because we're not needful anymore. Amen. We're not needful anymore. Our young people aren't needful. We have so much.
Right.
We're so spoiled. Everything's at the... Sometimes for us to get God's will, it's going to take some time. You're going to have to hang in there. You're going to have to make the decision and say, I surrendered my will for His will. Now I'm going to wait till God gives me that. We see it all the time. I see it. We have it right now in my home church, Brother Walton. We get these 25 to 30-year-olds. They're not married. And church becomes this, brother. Who's she? Who's she? Or they start going on Christian dating sites. Come on. You don't have that much faith in God to provide somebody for you?
Good.
A Church of Christ girl is not an independent fundamental Baptist girl. Do you understand that? There's a difference. I said, we got one right now. Sold out. Involved in all these things. Met some girl. I don't know where he met her, but let's put it this way, Brother Nathan. She ain't our type. She went to seminary for Bible theology. Last time I checked, brother, God said that a woman wanted to be a preacher. Guess where he's at today? Not in our church. That might rub some of you wrong, and if it does, that's fine. Why? Why are they not there? She didn't like what was being preached.
Amen.
Brother Tom, he's from our church. Her pastor doesn't say hateful things. She just didn't like some maybe the dress standards or some of the things that God doesn't call women to be preachers. He does at your home. That's why God says that a man to desire the office of a bishop must be first married. That's why you get your sermons from your wife. When Jesus came to earth, right before he went to the cross there in Gethsemane, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Where's our surrender? Where's our surrender to the things of God? It's needful for us. There is no better place to be in your life than in the perfect center of God's will. The way that you get there is first you have to become a child of God. There has to be a time and a place. There, you know, when the Israelites crossed the river and when they got to the other side, the Bible says they crossed clean on dry ground. You understand that? God parted the river. They crossed the river on dry ground. I don't know about you, brother, but we have mud puddles. We ride a four-wheeler there from our house. We go. It rains. The mud puddles are there for days. Even though the water recedes, there's still mud. And the Bible says they were on clean, dry ground. That's a miracle in and of itself. But when they came to the other side, how many of you know what they did? Each tribe took a stone and they stacked it for a memorial. You say, well, I just feel that I'm saved. No, the reason they stacked the stone was a memorial of what God had done. And if something as big as the Holy Spirit moves inside you, you're going to know when that happened, folks. First thing is we need to be saved. Then we need to grow in the things of the Lord. We need to hear God's word. It's needful to be in church. It's needful for those things. It's needful for us to read the Bible and have a walk and relationship with God. But it's also needful for us to say, not my will, but thine will, God. I wonder what we'd have today in our churches if people surrendered to God's will more. Young man, God, your whole life's ahead of you. What does God have for you? How important is it to what God has for you? Young ladies, why don't you just make a decision? I'm not going to marry somebody. I'm not going to date somebody until I know it's God's will.
Good.
I'm not going to attempt to sing it. I would run the rest of you out. But the Bible says, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust him and his presence daily live. Just listen to what the sermon was about in this song. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. How about you today? How about you? How needful are you today? Maybe you're here today and you're needful for salvation. Today's a good day to get that done. Just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. If you're here today and you'd say, Brother X, I'm not 100% sure that if I died, I'd know that I know I'd go to heaven. Today be the day to get that settled. In just a moment, you'll have an opportunity to get that settled. But let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today and you say, Brother X, that's me. I've been thinking about that. Salvation is something, it's not something that just happen. It's something you will know when it happened. If you're here today and you say, Brother Rex, I don't know for sure that if I died I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Is there anybody here today and say, Brother Rex, that's me? If you would, just slip your hand up very quickly. In just a moment, I'm going to pray, and I want to pray for you. If you're here today and you're not sure that heaven is your home, would you just slip your hand up so I could pray for you? Just slip it up quickly. I see those hands. Anybody else? There was two hands that were raised. If you're here today and you're not 100% sure, I see that hand in the back. Anybody else? I don't want to quit very early. I don't want to take it for granted. The most important decision you can ever make in your life is the decision to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In just a moment, I'm going to pray for you, but I can't pray you into heaven. If you're not 100% sure that if you died, you go to heaven, you know what? In just a moment, you'll have an opportunity to come down to the front and take somebody by the hand. Take Brother Morris by the hand. Maybe if you're a lady, it'll be a lady. If you're a man, we'll place you with a man. And they can take the Bible. So when you take your last breath someday, you're no 100% sure you're going to heaven. Maybe you're here today and you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. Maybe that's you today. Boy, it'd be a good thing to come down, get that settled, get on the list to get ready. God, the first sign of obedience after salvation is baptism. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a home church. Today'd be a good day to get that settled. Maybe we can pray about that where God would have you to be.